people to join us next week. Okay, so there's a lot of juicy imagery in Sefer Shmos, but one of the juiciest imagery is the snap. And I talked about it a little bit on Rashi, but I'm going to look at it from Chassidus, from Sfas Emes, his perspective. And I'll try to highlight, again, the aspects that makes Chassidus unique that emerge from the snap. Okay, so today we're going to talk about three different components of the snap. One is the fact that it's a bush rather than a tree. We spoke about that a little bit in Rashi yesterday. The second aspect is, why wasn't it being consumed? Obviously, these are the obvious ones. What does the Sfas Emes have to say about that? The third one is an aspect of the snare, of the imagery of the snare that Chazal didn't pick up on. So again, the Sfas Emes feels comfortable developing not just new ideas of the old imageries, but new aspects of the icon, of new aspects of the symbolism. Okay, so number one, why does Hashem appear in a snare? So the Rashi that I quoted yesterday, 2 days ago, is that the snare is a lowly bush, and it's thorny, and it's ugly. So if the Jewish people are suffering, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu says the Shechin is also suffering. The Shechin is not going to appear in a majestic or palatial environment. It's going to appear in a very ugly, disgusting snare. For the Sfas Emes is another reason. Not that the snare is ugly and disgusting, but it's very low. We would call it the low end of the totem pole. It's not like the aspects of nature that catch your attention, that you think about most. These things that are close to the ground, that are essentially not even there, almost invisible, almost not seen. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is omnipresent, even in the Sneh, not just specifically in the Sneh. According to Rashi, Hashem chose the Sneh to highlight the suffering of the Shechina. Hashem was in a thorny Sneh. For the Sfas Emes, it's even in the Sneh. And Hashem's presence is everywhere. It's omnipresent, even in the Sneh. Now, what does this mean? Because Hashem is speaking to them in Galus, and Hashem is delivering a message not about Geula, that you'll be redeemed, but that Galus, don't worry, wherever you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is there. Okay, that's a pretty moderate, average message. What makes it radical is that Chassidus has a very interesting view of Galus and Geula. Let me explain our view of Galus and Geula, and then tell you why Chassidus changes it and how radically it changes it, then I'll read you some of the languages in the Sfas Emes, okay? For us, let me go all the way back to the beginning of time. For human beings, for us, for non-mystics, for non-mukubalim, there were two falls of man. Man fell out of Gan Eden, original sin, so that was a fall for humanity. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu revived human potential by delivering the Torah to the Jewish people. He revived the potential to be in Gan Eden-like state, a state of perfection for the Jewish people. And the goal was we'd spread that to the entire world, and we would redeem humanity because we would return to a Gan Eden-like state, and we would inspire humanity. The problem is we fell. And the second fall is the Egel, the Meraglim, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the first bias, the second bias, all of Am Yisrael's failures throughout history. So those are the two falls. And what's the opposite of fall? What's the opposite of Galus? Geula. So what's Geula? We return to Yerushalayim, we reverse that fall, and at some point we gather all of humanity back to Yerushalayim, and they're inspired by Hashem. So we recreate Gan Eden, Chayde Shemenu Kekedem, back in Yerushalayim. But in Chassidus and Kabbalah, there's a earlier fall, not fall number one or fall number two, but fall zero. What's fall zero? When Hashem created the world, before human beings even existed, how does Hashem's infinite presence trickle down and limit itself to all these finite physical structures of this world? Hashem created this mouse, Hashem created this pen, Hashem created your being, water. Hashem is infinite, non-physical. So Hashem tried to create some mechanism to contain his infinity and his non-physicality, but it didn't work, quote-unquote, and Hashem's presence was scattered all over this universe. Those are called the Nitzotzos HaKedusha. And Hashem went from a state of indivisibility to a state of divisibility. And that's a fall. It's called a cosmic fall. No one sinned. No one did anything wrong. Adam didn't sin. You didn't sin. I didn't sin. It's a fall that's inherent to the creation of the world, which means that Geula is not just national and geographic. The Jews return back to the homeland, and everyone comes back to the same geography in the Sia Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Geula is cosmic. And have to reintegrate this world. How we reintegrate this world is not for now. But there's a larger story of Geula. Geula isn't just the Jewish people returning to their homeland, bringing humanity back. There's a larger. Now here's the second point, okay? If Hashem's Kedusha, Nitzotzos, the sparks of Hashem, whatever that means, parts of Hashem's essence, it has to be reunited and brought back into the fold and reintegrated. If it's all over the world, so should the Jews actually be in Israel? Because if the Jews are stuck in Israel, they're in a very narrow space. What about the parts of Hashem's essence that are in Siberia, parts of Hashem's essence that are in France, parts in Antarctica, Venezuela, whatever? So Galus is not just a punishment, it's an opportunity. That's a major, major, major Hasidic shift. We think galus is a punishment. It's a challenge. It builds our emunah, whatever. But it's not something which is optimal. Because if you look at the narrative of exile and redemption solely in National Geographic terms, we don't want to be in galus. The second you broaden the narrative to cosmic terms, then galus stretches our span, stretches our access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. That's some of the ideas he starts to develop in Parsha Shmos. I read some of the language for you, okay, just the language. Dehula Aharos. He doesn't talk about this now. We'll go back to this now in a moment. The reason the names of the Jewish Shvatim are listed again in Shmos, they were already listed in Vayigash when they went down to Mitzrayim, famous Kasha. So Medrash says that the Vayigash list is on their way to Galus. The Shmos list is on the way out of Galus, the Geula list. So the two lists. One is the list on the way down, one is the list on the way out, which will happen over the next couple of parshas. He says this is Dehu Laharos, to demonstrate Ki Ein HaGalus B'mikra. Galus isn't random, Vila Onish, and it's not a punishment, Bilvad. Avo B'nei Yisrael Nivru L'sakein Kol Eil HaMekomos. We're sending the Galus to repair, however we repair it cosmically, to repair all these locations. That's major. Or you want something a little bit more radical, Lachain Shoresh Shem Galus. Remember, in Chassidus, there's a lot of etymology manipulation. If you're a grammarian, you know exactly what each word is based on, because basically Hebrew is a three-letter base. Every word is a three-letter base. Asa is Ayin Sin Hey. Pa'al is Pei Aleph Lamed, and then you can play around with those three letters. But in Chassidus, we're not just limited to the language on this earth, because we're describing upper worlds, and in upper worlds there are all sorts of different letter combinations that actually form this world. So I take letters and I can move them around. So for example, Paro comes from the same root in upper cosmological language as Oref, because it has the same three letters, Oref and Paro. No grammarian in his right mind would say that. There's a different conjugations. But Paro was stubborn, and he symbolized a stubborn, stiff neck. So Paro, breaking Paro, was breaking unhealthy stubbornness and unhealthy recalcitrance in this world. So Galus, play around with the letters, and you have Geula, or Hiskalus, revelation. What do you call Hashem when he reveals himself to us? Gilui Shechina. Hashem reveals his Shechina. So Galus is a chance to try to find the aspects of Hashem's Shechina that were revealed that weren't yet integrated. And not only that, but it also comes from the same word of Lehiskalgel. Galus sounds like Galgal, like a wheel. So we're unfolding and unwheeling and uncovering, like a wheel would roll something over, and a wheel, what's on top becomes on bottom, what's on bottom becomes on top. So we're uncovering Hashem's presence that's concealed. So I'll read you this language. Lachain Sharas Shem Galus, Minyan Hiskalus, revelation. Kimo Gal, the Galgel, like a wheel. Shem is Hapech Adam, Aydeni Sionos. You turn things over through your trials, Achimotzi Mikoach Alapol, till you bring in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. So this is what the Sfasemis believes is the message of the Sneh. Hashem's presence is even in Galus, and you're going to be sent into Galus, not just because you'll be punished, you'll be sent into Galus to retrieve Hashem's presence, because Galus will be partially like a Gilui Shechina. You don't find this in Chazal. Like people, I said, read Sfasemis and just, that's a nice Dvar Torah. This is a major, major break, not with this medrash or that medrash, okay? His big chiddush is that he says the sneh is not a sign of suffering, it's a sign of sweep. Hashem is even in the sneh, not specifically in the sneh, like Rashi said. But the chiddush is a complete overhaul of our perspective of Galus. Galus is an opportunity, not a punishment. Galus is cosmic, not just geographic. Geula is not just national, and not just international, but it's even larger. It's not just for Jews, and of course for people that are beyond Jews, but it's for every part of this universe, has to undergo a process called Geula. Okay, in many ways, this is what leads to Zionism. There's a lot of Hasidic infusion in the early Zionism, because there's an activism of redemption. Let's actively redeem the world rather than just sit and wait. On the other hand, it's a broader perspective of Geula than just returning to our land, building a national homeland, and building a model state for people. Okay, one more idea, just because I don't want to take too much time, about not the choice of a sneh, but this phenomenon of fire not consuming the sneh. Okay, just because I didn't get a chance to tell you, because you guys will get a certain treat. Any of you chemistry fans? No. What is combustion? Combustion is a chemical reaction. What are the three elements necessary for combustion? What? Energy, fuel which it consumes, and an invisible object, which is omnipresent, invisible material, without which there's no oxidation. What do we call that? Oxygen. So if there's no oxygen, there's no fire. So if a combustion happens, you need fuel, energy, and this invisible but omnipresent element called oxygen. Okay, Torah is compared to fire. So what are the three parts of Torah? Well, the energy is the effort you take to study Torah, human energy. That's the fuel. And that's the energy. What's the fuel? Torah, which is consumed, like water, coal, which is consumed. But without that third invisible, omnipresent element, you won't succeed in turning Torah into fire. There'll be no combustion. What's that third omnipresent, invisible element? Hashem. Without Hashem, you won't succeed in learning Torah. At this point, okay, there's no combustion because Hashem had yet to appear in history. So the Jews had Torah, but there was no combustion. Hashem said, come back in a year to this mountain and the mountain will be on fire. It's all descended to history. You know the chemistry of combustion. And then Hashem said, the reason I'm giving you this symbol is, yes, the Jews have Torah. Our Avos study Torah. But Hashem wasn't present for 200 years in history because he was obscure. Hashem said, there's no combustion. Because without me, the oxygen, parallel, the metaphor of oxygen, is no combustion. So that's the chemistry of why this net wasn't burning. For the Svasemis, the reason it's not burning is a different message. Because this is Hashem's fire that Hashem delivers from Shemayim. And it's a Mara Gadol. It's amazing that Hashem could deliver His Torah and His Word to human beings without it consuming them. Because Hashem is Eish Ech L'Eish. And any contact you have with Hashem should, in theory, completely deplete you and exhaust you and consume you. And Hashem created a methodology or an access point by which we can study Him and interact with Him and understand Him in ways which were not consumed, either physically, that we don't get burned by His fire, or don't look at it literally in ways that we're not overwhelmed. Right? If you try to swallow Hashem's essence and His ideas and His intellect, it would be you'd go crazy. It'd be too large for your mind to handle, too broad for your processor. Just think of the following. We live in a binary world. Right now it's day, it's not night. It can't be on if it's off. It can't be yes if it's no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not binary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you see the sheretz, it's tummy. And there are 49 ways to prove that it's tummy. You know what else? It's tar. There are 49 ways to prove that it's tar. I can't explain that to you because your processor and my processor is binary. It can't be both. Hashem isn't binary. It's everything. Yotzer Ar, or Varei Choshech. Yotzer Shalom, or Varei Sekol. So how does Hashem take a Torah, which is based on His MS, His essence, that isn't binary, and translate into human terms where we can't even think of it? That's Hashem's chesed, that the sneh doesn't get consumed by the fire. That we can study Hashem's Torah, and we aren't consumed by the fire. Hashem is able to offer His Torah in human terms. Hashem nasan lana Torah's MS, v'chayelam nata b'zuchayna. So we'll stop here with just two images of the sneh that the Sas MS reworks. One image is the sneh, not specifically the sneh to indicate the suffering of the Shechina, but even the sneh, that Hashem's presence is everywhere, even in Galus. Okay, that's a fairly universal standard idea that Hashem's even in Galus. What makes it radical is, and therefore, I'm sending you into Galus to retrieve that presence of Hashem, and you're not being punished. You're on a field trip. You're on a field mission, an excursion, trying to find Hashem. Galus is a trip. It's not an onish. Second of all, that the fire didn't consume, that Hashem created a methodology for Tara to be mitzamtzem, contained and shrunken in ways that human beings can understand it, just like the fire didn't consume the sneh. Okay, have a good Shabbos. I'm not sure if I'm coming. We'll see. My wife's not feeling so great, so we may have to skip out, but hopefully I'm coming. Okay? For my share, 8:45. Okay? Get some breakfast. Shkoach, guys, for coming.
Shkoach.
Okay, let's get moving.